Good morning. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Why are you making that face?
Hola.
Hi, Louis. Hi, Kimberly.
Hola.
He's on one, so I apologize
already. I had to leave
already.
South Beach to come back to gray
to
skies of New York City.
Weather,
and Mr. Chippendales is on the screen, and Kimberly all flossing and everything, like she about to go out with her hubby for Valentine's dinner or something.
She does.
They chilling in their cribs and stuff like that, and I am here? What's up, y'all?
What am I? Chopped liver?
You are. You are.
Like,
how you doing, Molly?
I'm here with
you. How you doing, Molly? All right, how you doing, Molly?
Good Stephen to have A. you back, Stephen A. Yeah. My
Stephen
goodness.
A, I like,
diva.
I like the open collar, Stephen A. I like
yeah,
that.
You know, I
like
decided to rock it myself.
You're starting to incorporate that
He's
a little
doing the Louis
bit.
Riddick.
I decided to rock it myself since I just came from South Beach.
I've been seeing
South Beach flavor. You see what I'm saying?
I've been seeing that a lot more with you. I've been seeing that a lot more.
Well, it's a couple times. It's a couple
like
of times,
it.
But you are in your house with your shirt buttoned down and all of this other stuff. I mean, it's a different flair. I'm just saying. Let's do this.
Oh, now let's do it? Now you want to rush me? Get,
yes,
out.
I am
Get
rushing
out of here.
You, Molly.
Kimberly, you look
Molly
beautiful.
Q.
Louis, good
Molly
to see you.
Molly Q.
Oh, my goodness. We have so much NBA to get into. Jay will be here, but we got to start with the latest on you know who. Your boy, Aaron Rodgers. What's the deal, Stephen A? A day after he set the sports world in a frenzy about his future following a lengthy IG post, Rodgers joined the Pat McAfee show and attempted to explain it, titled Monday Night Gratitude, which came at the end of a 12-day cleanse called a Pancha Karma, during which he spent time in a reflective state, saying there's nothing cryptic about gratitude. Here's Rodgers with more on his future and that looming decision.
The offseason, I feel like, kind of, you know, begins when your season ends on paper, but it really starts to begin once the Super Bowl is over. You start to, you know, think about the next season and, for me, my future. And so there's been, you know, some definitely some contemplative days, but I wanted to have meetings with Brian and Russ and Matt, and I would say the meetings were much different than they've been in the past.
Oh.
In a positive way.
Oh.
And that there was some real honest conversations, but I am looking forward to making the decision and moving forward. I think it's best for me, it's best for the team, it's best for all parties involved. Let's just get this behind us.
Okay, so here's the deal. I thought he was gone, Stephen A, and that was his goodbye. And now I don't really know what's happening, what else is new. So can you attempt to break it down for me? Is Rodgers done in Green Bay? You're a bad man.
I believe he's done in Green Bay, but there's a couple of things that I want to point out.
Okay.
What did you describe that? And I need Kimberly, the wonderful Kimberly Martin, and Mr. Chippendales himself, Louis Riddick, up on the screen here. You called that the Pancha Karma?
It's Ayurvedic medicine.
Pancha Karma, I don't even know how to describe it. Ayurvedic medicine.
Yeah.
That's some nasty stuff right there that Aaron Rodgers has described that he was going on. It's forcing you to throw up, all right? It's inducing diarrhea, and I just saw it up on the screen earlier this morning. I was like, well, damn. I mean, that's the one time me and Dan Graziano were lockstep marching, lockstep. We both were like, oh, Lord. I mean, that's a lot. That's just a lot of stuff to reveal in the morning, okay? I understand it happens. I understand we all go, knowing you probably went through it, Molly, because you do everything. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is, I don't expect, literally while I'm eating breakfast,
all
y'all.
All it is a cleanse. It's just releasing from your body. And
fine.
Essentially eating lentils,
Molly,
and vegetables.
Fine. But when you're eating breakfast and you see induced vomiting and diarrhea, and you're like, oh, God.
Not that
and
true.
Really, did we really need to hear that this morning? So that's one point. Number two, that cleanse that he was on, getting rid of all those toxins and all of this other stuff, guess what? It makes total sense why he sat up there and put that IG post. Talk about reflection. You're 13 through 12 days isolated and putting yourself through that. I'm quite sure there's a whole lot of things going through his damn mind. So it definitely made sense. But in the end, here's what it comes down to. Aaron Rodgers is making news for really close to no reason at all. The only thing we care about, this is not, unfortunately, this is not Tom Brady. Yeah. He's a bad man. We all know how I feel about him. I think as a talent, he's the greatest quarterback that I've ever seen. I got a lot of love for Aaron Rodgers. My only issue with him was the whole, you know, I'm immunized stuff, which I did not appreciate. Outside of that, I got no issues with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the greatest talent from the quarterback position. But he is no Tom Brady. He is not a seven-time champion. He is not a winner within. He is not somebody who personifies what a champion is supposed to be, because for the last 11 consecutive years, we watched someone other than him, despite his talent, hoist that Lombardi trophy. And so when I see him making all kinds of news and everybody is, you know, venturing around trying to wonder what the hell he means, let me be very clear. I don't care. Are you staying in Green Bay? If you're not staying in Green Bay, where are you going? When you make that decision, that warrants news. But the fact that we are sitting here speculating every day about what the hell he's going to do and what's on his mind, I think those things are reserved for champions. Now, he has won a championship, but for the last 11 straight years, with four MVP trophies on his docket,
yes.
Okay? He doesn't have a single Super Bowl appearance, let alone a championship to show for it, and he's 0-4 in conference championship games during that span. All of this noise about him is reserved for those who won a hell of a lot more recently than he has. So I'm actually disgusted that these are headlines like, let's stop the presses, let's stop traffic, let's make sure. Pat McAfee deserves lots of props. He's got a damn good show, and he's made a good career for himself, and he's doing a good job, and I'm very fond of Pat McAfee, so this is no knock against him. But we're guaranteed to see him on television on a weekly basis because of Aaron Rodgers' appearances on his show, and I'm sorry, what have you done to earn that? I'm sick of talking about Aaron Rodgers until I find out whether he's staying in Green Bay or what team he's going to. Go ahead, y'all.
Yeah, look, as funny as it was the way you put it, you know, as far as his 12-day cleanse and what all that means, and that's a lot of information to be sharing. I don't care what time of day it is, breakfast or not, that's a lot of information. But I tell you this, I agree with you. Look, I think we've all, Stephen A., reached a point where we have what I think many of us would term Aaron Rodgers fatigue about news that isn't really news. It's just talk. And he's aware. And look, I like Aaron. I really do. And I enjoyed the time we spent on Monday Night Football in production meetings talking to him and listening to just how intelligent, reflective, aware of his legacy, of the legacy of his teammates, how much he cared about his teammates, how much he cared about relationships, how much he really cared about trying to win at the highest level. And I respect him for all that. What I am, though, kind of tired about is the fact that, look, there's a lot of business to get to beyond Aaron Rodgers when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. They have a lot of business to tend to, man, concerning their roster as it relates to whether or not he's going to be back there or whether they need to go ahead and move him down the line and trade him somewhere else so they can get to the business at hand. First and foremost, figuring out what the heck they're going to do at quarterback, whether it's going to be Jordan Love or not, or whether or not they need to go ahead and acquire some kind of veteran. They've got a number of different free agents. They got to tag Davante Adams. They're almost $50 million over the salary cap. They got to get rid of either Preston Smith or Za'Darius Smith or restructure them. You got to re-sign Rasul Douglas. What are you doing with Robert Tonyan? What are you doing? I mean, it's just transaction after transaction after transaction that is newsworthy, that is worthy of discussing, more so than what kind of 12-day cleanse did you just finish? How much reflection are you having about, you know, where you're at right now? Because that all that's doing is it's making us, it's have us all sitting around on our TVUs going, do we need to talk about Aaron right now? Is he retiring? Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? And he knows this. So let's just take care of business. Let Green Bay take care of their business so that we can get on with the rest of the offseason. Because right now, this does kind of start to feel like a little bit of a circus. That is intentional on his part.
Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is not stupid. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows we all will tune in to Pat McAfee's show. He knows we will be on First Take discussing him. Aaron Rodgers has now done this heel turn where he's become, in my mind, like the guys I used to warn my friends about in college. Like, the guys who are vague. Like, do you want to be here? Do you want to be with her or not? Because if not, leave my girl alone. Like, that. I think we've reached that point with Aaron Rodgers. If you want to stay in Green Bay, just say it. If you want to go, just say it. Because Lewis has just laid out all the transactional business that this team has to take care of. And Aaron, like a lot of those guys in college, knows he has the Packers just like all those dudes have those girls where they wanted them. Because he knows that this team understands with him, they have a chance of competing for a championship. Without him, it seems very bleak in Green Bay, because what we saw from Jordan Love, no disrespect to Jordan Love, he hasn't taken the steps and hasn't been able to take the steps to mature and get better in this role. So we don't know what he is in Green Bay, and the Packers understand that, which is why they're able to continue and participate in the circus. And we all are part of this one-ring circus where Aaron Rodgers is the main attraction, because we know that in Green Bay, they have a shot. And when he leaves, it doesn't look good for them. At least this year.
Stephen, indulge me for a second here, and I know this is going to shock you, because I kind of killed Aaron Rodgers yesterday, because it really bothered me, the comment where he said his teammates were the icing on the cake, and I said they should be the cake, the foundation. But I want to defend him here for a moment, because if he's about to make a big decision and he decides, I want to go into a little bit of isolation, I want to reflect, he's on a health journey, a spiritual journey, he wants to make this decision, and he came out of it, and instead of focusing on what he didn't have in terms of winning a championship, he said, look at all the things I do have. And he wanted to thank everybody, give them their flowers in terms of what he's grateful for. I'm actually more so impressed by that, because when I have to make a difficult decision in my life, instead of calling up 800 people, that's not what I do. I also retreat. I shut my phone off. I pray about it. And I take some time. And I need to take a pause. And then I'm like, okay, I don't want to be reactive. You want to be proactive. And I think that's what he did here. And I actually respect it.
Well, first of all, let's be clear. You can respect it from that perspective, which we all should easily do, but still highlight the fact that you know, because of your intellect, what's going to create news and what's going to bring you out of that realm of isolation, back into public view. And you didn't come out of the 12 days of isolation and cleansing and said, I'm going to San Fran, or I'm staying in Green Bay. You came out of that period of isolation and told the world, hey, I'm still reflecting. And we just sat up here and said, well, you're smart enough to know that it's going to create news. What we're saying is, okay, well, here's the news. The last time we saw you, you couldn't score 14 points at Lambeau Field in a divisional playoff game. When your team was the favorite in the eyes of most aficionados to represent the National Football Conference in Super Bowl 56. That is the memory. We can understand the cleanse. We can understand the spiritual,
reflection, the pause.
Reflection, the pause. We get all of that. Nobody's throwing any shade on that. But once you come back into this realm, and you start talking about your future, and you're treating it like it needs to be headline news, like a soap opera leading into what's Aaron Rodgers gonna do, then we're entitled to say, okay, let's look at what you've done. And the last time we saw you, Jimmy Garoppolo, porn star Jimmy, walked off of Lambeau Field with his hand raised at your expense. And I understand it wasn't him. It was special teams that did most of the damage. Special teams of Green Bay, really, which was ill-prepared all season long, Matt LaFleur. But in the end, it still came down to Aaron Rodgers couldn't get 14 points on the board in a playoff game. And for the 11th consecutive season, he went home. That is not somebody that we should be sitting back here every day talking about, what's Aaron Rodgers going to do? What's Aaron Rodgers going to do? What's Aaron Rodgers going to do? Hell with it. Do it. Do it. That's it.
But we're the ones doing it, so we're the ones falling for the Loki, though. Yeah. Lewis?
We talk about it, but we just said, hey, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you know what? Look, I don't, Molly, I'm not knocking this process. We all have our process.
Right.
And
yeah.
You just kind of articulated on your, you know, on your own behalf, you know, whatever process it is that we all go through to arrive at big decisions, especially decisions that could really change the course of our life and where mm-hmm. and where we're headed next. And people, you know, people have their preferences as far as how they do that. What I'm saying is, though, I think he also understands that coming out of that 12-day state or however long it is, look, I'm sure he's been reflecting on it for much longer than that. He knows that every time he opens his mouth, especially on a national, you know, on a national stage and talks about what his future is going to look like or how much he still is undecided as to what his future is going to look like, it's going to make big time news and it's going to cause people a lot of uneasiness and a lot of consternation about, look, what exactly is he thinking and what exactly is he going to do? And I think at this point in time, look, if you really are thinking bigger picture, meaning not just about yourself, but about everything else that is going on surrounding all the people that you care about, namely in this instance, your teammates, then I think, you know, me personally, I would probably keep this very private and keep this internal until I had something very newsworthy to say about what I was going to do. And I would discuss it with those guys, as far as guys like Davante Adams, guys like Randall Cobb, another guy who's on his football team that he lobbied to bring back, you know, last year, who also carries a big cap number that they may not be able to carry this year, especially if Aaron's not there. There's a lot of things that are right now waiting on his decision that I think I would say, hey, look, I just came out of this time period. I'm going to get with the people who I know this is going to affect materially going forward. And before I say anything, before I go on anybody's show, before I talk about really nothing, I'm going to talk to them first and make sure I have my ducks in a row. Because when it is time for me to say something, trust me, First Take will be there, SportsCenter will be there, NFL Live will be there, every other network will be there, yeah. And we will have content from now until August when he decides wherever it is that he's going to play. I would just be more aware of that if I were him.
You know, it's interesting, despite all the talking that he's done, and this is since last offseason. Think about it. Since last offseason, we've been talking about, will he come back? Will he be in Green Bay? People around the league that I speak to aren't even convinced that he will be on another team this year. So as much as he's talked about the fractured relationship early, and now he's saying this week that the relationship is in a much better place with the Green Bay front office, at some point, Aaron has to be honest about, if I want to be here, because everybody thinks if he's not in Green Bay, it'll be Denver. But there's no guarantee that if he goes to Denver that he can not only make the playoffs, make the AFC Championship, make a Super Bowl. Like, it, like, Green Bay to me makes so much sense to stay. But if you want to be there, the easiest thing would be to wrap this up and let's keep it moving. That's why there's so much doubt, and there shouldn't be doubt if this is where he truly wants to be, his home.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have answers soon, but appreciate the healthy discussion, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have more NFL in just a bit, some NBA to get into. Jay Williams joining us now. The NBA is about to get real, real good. James Harden and the dynamic duo of him and MVP frontrunner Joel Embiid are expected to debut this Friday in Minnesota. Harden has not played since February 2nd. Now, the man he was swapped for, Ben Simmons, according to our Ramona Shelburne, he's ramping up for a return. The last time we saw him was in an NBA game, was game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Hawks. Stephen A. Hi, Jay.
Hello, Molly.
Who has more to prove, guys? Is it Simmons, or we'll start with you?
No, please.
All these pleasantries are actually scaring me.
Nah, he's scared to start because he knows I'm going to pick him apart. But
okay.
Okay.
Good to see you, Jay.
Thank you.
By the way, your dog was here today.
Yes, Denzel Washington.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. There was a dog running around the office, yeah. and then someone told me that's Denzel Washington's, yeah. That's
you
Jay's
named
dog.
A dog after Denzel?
Because that's my dog. That's my homie. You know what I mean?
It's a good company.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a good company.
That's respect to Denzel.
I'll go with that.
Anyway, your dog.
It's training day every day.
Denzel put a smile on my face, so it was nice to see him running down the hallway.
Greatest actor of all time.
Yes. Who has more to prove? Is it Simmons or Harden, Stephen A?
I respectfully say James Harden. That's where I'm at with it. James Harden departs from Houston the way that he did. James Harden departs from Brooklyn the way that he did. Regardless of what side you take in terms of believing the reports, what has happened over the last 2 years is that James Harden has gotten older. James Harden has gotten bigger. James Harden has had the hamstring injuries. And we know what we saw from him last year as a floor leader when healthy. He was absolutely spectacular. He was one of the leading candidates for league MVP honors. Mm-hmm. Okay, but now you're playing with Joel Embiid. And because of what Daryl Morey surrendered for you, it's not that, even though I like Seth Curry a lot, and I think that he's a premier three-point shooter, his statistics show that. And Andre Drummond is a rebounding demon, and I get that. It's not about them, per se, as an isolated player. Mm-hmm. It's that whoever went to Brooklyn addressed the needs that the Brooklyn Nets had. You need a playmaker. You need a defensive, you know, stalwart. You got Ben Simmons. You need another shooter because you don't know how Joe Harris healthy he's going to be once he gets back. You already got Patty Mills. Of course, with Kyrie and KD as well. You know, the shooter, you got Seth Curry. You need a rebounder. You need some girth and additional mass on your front line because Claxton and Johnson and those boys is athletic. But at the same time, you need more mass. You got a big boy like Andre Drummond you can throw in there. That's what the deal is. So considering all that was given up for James Harden, combined with the greatness of Joel Embiid and what those expectations are in Philly, if James Harden is who we know we've seen him be, and who we still believe he can be, the bottom line is he still has to go there and prove it, because here's the deal. Mm-hmm. They can't win without him being who we know he can be. You ain't beating Brooklyn, Milwaukee, even Miami if James Harden brings anything less than his A game. You need his A game with Embiid in order to knock those teams off. That's what I'm talking about when I say he has more to prove.
I'm happy I'm here with you today.
Sure.
Because when I'm here, I feel like I raised the level of elevation that you bring to the table.
Well, I would tell you this. I just like being in the studio with you,
yeah,
my brother.
Yeah.
I like
Same
being in the studio
but
with
I like
you,
engaging
man.
In competitive
That's
theater.
All right.
That's what we're doing
okay.
right. So let me tell you why the question is, who has more to prove?
Yeah.
Ben Simmons has claimed mental instability with inside the Philadelphia 76ers organization.
Okay.
Okay. So essentially what that means to me is that it's my environment that's not creating the right place for me to achieve the ultimate level of success that I can personally. So what's more to prove? Now that I've gotten what I want, now that I'm out of Philadelphia, out of the likes of Joel Embiid trolling me, not really having my back, Daryl Morey, whatever the reasons are, ownership, whatever it is.
You know, you mentioned right about Embiid. Yeah. You know how he felt.
Now I am in Brooklyn. Mental health-wise, what is my excuse now? I'm not saying that's an excuse. It's a legit concern.
Right.
But my environment has changed. Now I actually have a chance to flourish. And by the way, I don't think anybody would ever call James Harden a bum. I've heard people call.
I've never said that.
No, not you. Not you. I've heard people call Ben Simmons a bum. Mm-hmm. I've heard people call Ben Simmons soft. Joel Embiid called him actually extra soft. I've seen during the Eastern Conference semifinals where people are questioning whether or not this dude actually loves basketball, likes to even play this sport, because he's not going to shoot a shot. He's not going to take a wide open shot. What would hinder you from being just a respectable player in the game? Don't worry about all the other mental issues. You got to go out there and hoop. You got to go out there and put in work. So all these people have questioned the manhood, essentially, of Ben Simmons when it comes to hooping. Mm-hmm. So who has more to prove? I know that James Harden can get buckets. Mm-hmm. I've seen him do it last year before he had the hamstring injury. I know to a degree what James Harden and Joel may be. They may not hit expectations, but who has more to prove? It's the guy who hasn't played basketball in 275 days, Stephen
A. I got
A.
you. I got you.
That's easy.
I got you.
That's apparent, is it not?
Okay. Well, first of all, you're wrong. But that's nothing.
That's subjective.
I'm saying, but that's
you
nothing
can say
new.
I'm wrong. Doesn't
hold on,
mean I'm
hold
wrong.
On, hold on.
Okay.
You're wrong. But that's nothing new when you're up against me. I understand. All right. So we'll just get this out the way. I would remind you, first of all, anybody who called Ben Simmons a bum should be banned from talking basketball. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Okay.
Just because he can't shoot. We just watched Dennis Rodman walk up on the podium as the all-time 75th anniversary, you know, top 75 players in NBA history. We know Dennis Rodman couldn't shoot. He was a rebounder extraordinaire. He was a defender extraordinaire. Those were the two components that elevated Dennis Rodman. So shooting the basketball and scoring buckets isn't the only component that comes with being a successful basketball player. So to call Ben Simmons a bum, whoever that was, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Let's get that out the way. But when you call him mentally soft, you and I won't do that because that's dicey, because then we're diminishing the whole mental health issue. What folks are saying, however, is that they don't believe him when he said it was mental health. They believed he used it as an excuse to ensure that he didn't have to play, but he could still get his money. So when they say that about him, let's make sure we crystallize for our audience. That's what people are talking about when they talk about Ben Simmons. They're basically saying it's not that they're diminishing mental health. They're saying they don't believe he was telling the truth. Okay. He has to live with that. We move on from there. And by the way, he didn't help his case because he wasn't on the bench, couldn't be found in Philadelphia. The second he got traded, he was on the bench with the Brooklyn Nets the next game. Chilling, smiling, having a blast.
Everything's different.
Everything's great now. So we get that out the way. But even with all of that being said, Ben Simmons' game is his game. Ben Simmons literally can dribble the ball up the court, push the ball up on a fast break, kick it to Kyrie, kick it to KD, okay? Have 5 points a game. But he's a lockdown defender, and Kyrie and KD are exploding, and nobody will say a damn word because that's not what's expected from Ben Simmons. In the case of James Harden, you're going to bring up how he was a no-show against the Spurs in a closeout playoff series, about how he didn't show up to expectations against Golden State. Not one, not two, but on three separate occasions. You're going to point out how he was a member of the Houston Rockets when they went up against CP3 in Lob City with the Clippers, and there was a game six where the Clippers were en route to advancing to the conference finals for the first time in history, and Houston went on a 49-9 run, something like that, with James Harden on the bench. You're going to think about all of those things, and you're going to say this dude that once averaged 36 a game, that averaged 30 more than a few times a season in his career, that's been one of, if not arguably, one of the most, not even arguably, one of the most prolific scorers in NBA history, but who has come up smaller in the postseason, they're going to say, all right, what you got? Nobody has that expectation of Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons' expectations go out the window, Jay Williams, the second he gets back on the court in Brooklyn. James Harden. Nobody's thinking. Once he shows up, your mental issues are over. It's over. But
are they?
James Harden.
If he doesn't
I'm saying what people. Once he steps on the court, because he wouldn't step on the court in Philly. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Once he steps on the court, he's good. James Harden, that's not enough. James Harden can average 20, 10, and 10 in Philly. And people will still say, yo, man, that's all. We used to the cat that score over 30. They need you now. You got to show up with Ben Simmons. Much more pressure is on James Harden.
Okay,
you're
talking about pressure. That wasn't the question. Who has more to prove? Now, you're talking about team regards. Who's reached their potential? Has James Harden reached his potential? As a scorer, as a prolific, one of the most prolific scorers in the history of the game.
But I'm thinking his potential.
He hasn't reached his potential.
I think he has the potential to be a champion in the playoff.
I
think James Harden is so great, he should be a champion.
Okay, fine. So that's the one missing link for James Harden. Everything else you're fine
with,
right?
Success, yeah.
Playoff success.
Playoff
success, right? Everything else you're fine.
Yes.
Is Ben Simmons come even close to reaching his potential?
No.
Nowhere close.
No.
Stephen A., James Harden's up here. Ben Simmons had the potential to be up here. Ben Simmons is down here.
Ben Simmons.
So talk about room for improvement.
Let me ask you a
change
question.
How you look at
question.
We used to call Ben Simmons a baby. I've heard you say this. He is a baby version of LeBron James.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Look, what is that drop off?
Yes.
LeBron is up here. But Ben Simmons is down here, baby. So there's a lot of room for improvement for Ben Simmons. And that's the question.
Wait a minute. Where were you on Ben Simmons before the playoff series against Atlanta? Where were you?
I wasn't that high on him.
Really?
No, I still thought there was, whenever I see Ben Simmons, I think Ben Simmons can also be one of the most elite defenders ever to play the game.
He is.
But I think offensively.
He was my vote for defensive player of the year last year.
I think offensively, there's something there that stopped him from going next level. And I've seen it in workouts throughout the summer. I've talked to his trainer about it. There's something mentally there that stops him from going to another gear, which I know he has in him. It's just there's a reluctance to have it happen on the court.
It's very, very simple. When you played, you didn't mind being a sniper. You were a dog, and you'd pull up from anywhere. If you are a guy that is petrified of shooting beyond 5 feet from the basket. That limits what you're going to do offensively. Everywhere else, everything, anywhere else that you're on the court, you're looking to defer to another scorer because you're not trying to take that shot. That's the impediment to Ben Simmons' game. Not his ball handling skills, not his playmaking ability, not his athleticism, not his ability to finish at the basket. Ben Simmons is absolutely positively petrified of shooting the basketball.
You're making my point for me.
But wait a minute. There is nothing else that's missing from his game. What else is missing?
The biggest thing that we're talking about, the thing that you call Michael Jordan the greatest player of all time, because psychologically, mentally, he's head over heels. That's what he's missing. James, I don't got questions around that.
We were having a conversation about the talent. I understand but that's a given.
But talent and physicalness, or mental and physical, is all about improvement, though, Stephen.
All I'm saying to you is this. When we talk about something to prove, ain't nobody. Listen, the minute Ben Simmons gets on the court, we're looking at Ben Simmons and we're like this. Okay, he's back. He's back. Okay, let's see what you got. In Harden's case, it's like, yo, Harden got to win the chip, bro. You got Joel Embiid. Harden got to win the chip.
He got to win the chip.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Okay. Like, for me.
More to prove?
No, for me, it's about Ben Simmons getting over that mental hurdle.
Okay. You know,
I mean, James Harden may not make the shot, but you never question about James Harden taking the shot.
Do you know any male versions of Dear Abby? Because when y'all find out who the hell that is, that's what I'm going to call
that's
Jay Williams.
Slight.
That's a slight. Because it's all of that.
Wait, Molly.
I got to call Dr. Phil and ask him.
That's how you have to win debates. You have to go to name calling.
No, not at all.
It goes to name calling.
That's not name calling.
You're going to give me nicknames.
That's not name
calling. That's how you have to win a debate. That's interesting. Okay.
Excuse me. First of all, I was just having fun, but I really mean it because you're like, I'm going to have a mental health issue. All I'm saying is like, yo, listen.
First off, my voice don't sound like that.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't sound like that. My tonation does not sound like that.
I'm very good at imitating people. Don't get me started. The point that I'm trying to make to you is Joel Embiid is that dude.
Okay.
And if James Harden is, you talk about winning the chip.
Let's do this.
The chip.
Let's do this. They both have things to prove, okay? They both have things to prove.
All right.
Let's carry on.
Okay.
In the words of Kendrick Perkins. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers,
thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it. They won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All right, earlier this season, the NBA unveiled its 75th anniversary team. ESPN's expert panel ranked them, and here's what they got. Elgin Baylor checks in at 20, then the logo, Jerry West, and two international guys, Giannis at 18, then Dirk, Steph at 16, KD at 12, Shaq at 11. And here's how the top 10 pans out with Kobe, Oscar Robertson, Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, Wilt, Magic, Kareem, and then the top two, LeBron and MJ. All right. Jay Williams, let's go.
All right.
Is Steph Curry a top 10 player?
So I evaluate Steph Curry with where he is right now.
Okay.
Right now, Steph Curry will definitely crack the top 10 when it's all said and done.
Okay.
Brother is prolific. Can we put up my top 10, please, so everybody can see it? I did my own ranking. Now, okay. I factor in personality traits. I factor in people who I think are killers, people who I think are averaging, obviously, all-time NBA. I go MJ, LeBron James, Kobe, Kareem, Magic, Shaq, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, and I have KD at number 10. So if that's my top 10, I'm very curious because I think Stephen Curry, when you think about it, when it comes down to it, right? Stephen Curry, two-time MVP, six-time All-NBA. Everybody else that's an All-NBA player on this list, they've averaged at least 12 and a half times they've been All-NBA. Now, I know it's over the longevity of your career, but I also measure you against your contemporaries. Now, I think it's harder for Steph, obviously, because he's playing with the likes of KD and LeBron James, who are both in my top 10, who are playing currently, even though I think the trajectory, he's on his way. But I think Stephen Curry right now, for me, he's around 11, 12. He's barely on the outside looking in, Stephen A. He will crack it, but I think we need to see a little bit more of Steph do things at the level he did last year and this year without Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant got two finals MVPs when they won the chips.
I'm not in a position to disagree. I didn't know you were going to have your top 10 list. Yes. My apologies, because I would have had my own as well.
It's okay.
I like
to throw a little wrench at you
I like it. Yesterday, let me share with you what I really, really struggled with. And I didn't have the list that they put up of the top 10 players. I need to see that again if y'all could help me out here. Because my whole point was this. I said, number one, I thought that Shaq deserved to be in there ahead of Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
It was hard for me because what do you do with Wilt Chamberlain, who they changed the rules for, but he only had two chips, and what I held against Wilt Chamberlain is the fact that Russell got 11. So how does Russell got 11, and that was your number, that was your primary nemesis. It was Wilt against Bill Russell, and Wilt averaged 50 points a game one season, 44 another, and his career 22.9 rebound up a game individual, and all has had 100 points in the game. But here was the problem. You went up against Russell, and Russell got 9 more titles mm-hmm. than you. So what do I do with that? So I struggled with that. I said I had no problem with MJ, number one. You know that. LeBron
yep.
James, number two. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, number three. I'm set on my top three.
Okay.
Everything else is up for grabs to me because I think about Magic Johnson, the greatest point guard who ever played basketball.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
I think about Kobe Bean Bryant, who's a 5-time champion, but I also got to think about the three he got with Shaq, even though Shaq got the three with him. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now, it matters to me that he went away from Shaq and got two more and went to three straight finals. So I pay attention to that as well. But then I think about Steph Curry. This is the greatest shooter God ever created.
Agreed.
There is no one that is in his stratosphere mm-hmm. in terms of shooting the basketball. The brother does have 3 rings. He did go to the finals 5 straight years. And here's where it gets tricky, Jay. Kevin Durant, I don't understand how anybody can leave Kevin Durant off the top 10 because as a talent, I think Kevin Durant is better than Larry Bird.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes.
He's 6'11". He's a sniper extraordinaire. He's a two-time champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's a league MVP. We know how phenomenal Kevin Durant is, and you just get these as a professional scorer. There's no way to guard him.
I even think he's a better scorer than Michael Jordan. Now, people may think I'm crazy, but that's up for debate.
No. I don't. You know what? You can make a legitimate argument about that. It's just that I think about the road to prosperity, which is what I hold against LeBron James in terms of the era that Jordan had to play in and what he had to endure to get to that.
That's fair. Yep.
Doing rules changes and all of that other stuff. And I don't think, and a coach yesterday reminded me of young Lew Alcindor before he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and how phenomenal he was, and people forget about that too. Here's where it gets tricky, KD. KD all-world. All-world. Mm-hmm. And he was clearly the best player on the Golden State Warriors team. They don't win back-to-back titles without KD.
Mm-hmm.
But does he get a title without them? Point number one.
Hmm.
Point number two, didn't they win a title before he ever arrived? Yes, they did. So, yeah, Kyrie went down, he got injured, and Kevin Love was out before that. So LeBron was all wise and lonesome, that first chip that Golden State beat him at and all of that other stuff. But I'm just saying, these are the kind of questions that everybody throws in there. So I look at the list, and I'm like, it's one of the rare. I don't have a definitive opinion. I have to sit up here like this. Good God, I got to think about this. This is driving me crazy.
So
I had a vote on a 75 team, because I had a vote, they told me to pick the top 75 players. They didn't tell me to put it in an order.
Okay.
So I never put it in an order.
Arbitrarily.
I never put it in an order.
Well, now you got to put it in an order.
And I got to think about it, because that's how hard it is. I honestly can't make up my mind.
Can we do exercise live?
Sure.
Let's go through your top 10. Let's go.
I don't know.
You don't know your top 10?
No, I know my top three. I'm iffy on everything else. Kobe, of course, I think Kobe's top 10.
How about top five? Can you do top five?
Just try. I would tell you, well, we're getting into the Mount Rushmore discussion later. That's why I don't want to reveal that. I want to save that. But I'm just saying, I'm thinking about Magic. I'm thinking about Bird. I'm thinking about Durant. I'm thinking about Steph Curry. And I look at Bird, and I'm like, oh, my God, how do I leave the great Larry Bird out? Oh, my Lord.
What am I going to do? Even when I go through my list, even if you want to debate about Wilt Chamberlain, I'm like, is Stephen Curry over Wilt Chamberlain?
That's what I'm saying, see?
I can't give him that right now.
I get you.
I can't give him that right now. Maybe in another 3-4 years.
No, listen to what I'm saying.
If they continue to sustain
success.
What
I can give Steph Curry right now is that he's a three-time champion, 5 straight trips to the finals.
Yes.
All right? A 2-time league MVP. And, oh, by the way, the greatest shooter God has ever created. It ain't his fault he ain't 7'1". And when Wilt was playing, he was damn near a foot taller than everybody he was going against. So how do you factor that in? Steph Curry is 6'3". You got bigger, stronger, faster dudes guarding them all the time, and there's nothing they can do about it.
And by the way, has a top two handle in the league.
That's right.
A top two handle in the league.
Listen. Steph, do you understand the greatness of Steph Curry from this perspective? Do you understand, Molly? And I know Jay gets this. Steph Curry is a threat the moment he steps past half court.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. If you're a defense, you almost can't do zone. You almost have to extend yourself and go out and guard him, which opens up the floor for everybody else. Because this brother can pull up from 40. 40! He does it all the time. And then the All-Star game, as great as it was to see, you know what made it fun? How he was turning his back before went in and stuff like that.
Did that go in? Yeah, that went in.
That's all he was doing.
Yeah.
But the actual shot itself, no one was surprised.
But it was shooting from everywhere.
He was shooting from everywhere. But no one was surprised.
No.
This dude pulls up from the logo, and you're going like this. Oh, damn.
After they boo him, that's what makes him so great.
So let me ask you this. So Larry Bird is
three-time MVP.
Three-time all-time champion. Yep. Three-time champion, member of the 50-49.
Right. Right.
So, like, I kind of feel
and
like...
And clutch.
So that brings up a different element of the conversation, right?
Because we've
seen KD be clutch for the Golden State Warriors. We haven't seen those big moments for Steph to be clutch in the playoffs yet.
Right.
To a degree. That we've seen Larry
Bird.
So you start trying to replace it. And I'm not doing this... I'm not doing this to diminish or minimize
Steph Curry. We're just talking greatness.
There are barely elements of levels to this, right?
You would say... We've seen those moments from KD.
My response to you is, I don't recall, because KD was so dominant that it didn't even come down to that most of the time. He just took you. Like, KD would sit up there and go like this. The team is struggling. Maybe like Fawcett, like when he did in the finals against LeBron and them. Steph and Klay were struggling. I think it was game 3 or 4. KD just looked at them and was like, just give me the ball.
I mean, here's probably last year against the Milwaukee Bucks, what, 49 triple-double?
That's right. I called 50, and he missed the free throw, but I called him for 50 that night. I called that morning, the first thing I called for 50. All I'm just saying is like, damn. And then I think about Isaiah Thomas and stuff like, oh, my God, one of the greatest point guards.
We're going to have so much more on this later. Jay's here the whole show. Still to come, though, another NBA. I know, it's difficult. It's hard out here.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.